is Jared the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game, online at thegamenashville.com. He's the GM, Floyd Reese. I'm Jared Stillman. Floyd?
Yes, sir.
You made a very valid point in the last segment of this show. If you go on record endorsing any one candidate to be the next head coach of the Tennessee Titans, it becomes a legitimate story, right?
I don't know.
Like, you know, headline, former GM Floyd Reese says, and then, you know, it comes on from then and there, and it goes on and whatnot. So I think you are not getting in the business of endorsing any particular person for the next coaching job of the Titans.
Probably be a good idea.
Although I would love it if you did. But I'm okay with that. I understand. But I will say this. For me, at least, whatever. I will say this. I do not feel that same way. I have a candidate who I think should be the next head coach of the Tennessee Titans. I'm going with Jim Schwartz. I think Jim Schwartz, the defensive coordinator of the Philadelphia Eagles, the former defensive coordinator of the Tennessee Titans, Jim Schwartz should be, in my opinion, the next coach of the Tennessee Titans. Now, I do not know what he knows about John Robinson, what their relationship is, if they have a relationship, if they knew each other. Now, they both come from the Belichick tree. Because remember, Jim Schwartz was in Cleveland when Belichick was in Cleveland. So he does have at least a little Belichick blood in him. Not a lot, but a little Belichick blood. And, of course, we know that Jim Schwartz comes from, or that John Robinson comes from the Belichick tree. So at least they have that. But the thing is, Jim Schwartz is just a really good coach. When he was coach of the Titans, they had one of the best defenses in the league for the better part of a decade. And then when he went to the Lions, and I don't even look at his tenure with the Lions as a failure. He had a year where he got the Lions to the playoffs. They were 0-16 when he took over. He had young players everywhere, high draft picks, bad ownership, bad GM. And at the end, he was 10-6 one year, and he was 7-9 another year. And I look at that more as a Detroit problem than I do a Schwartz problem.
Was he fired after the 7-9?
Yes.
10-6 made the playoffs. Next year went 7-9?
No, 10-6, 4-12, 7-9.
10-6 and then two bad years?
Well, I don't count 7-9 as a horrifically bad year in Detroit.
So if we win 9 here and we were to win 6, go 6-10 next year, you wouldn't
I'd be upset with Schwartzy.
One more time. So 10-6 and then what?
But I am endorsing Jim Schwartz as the next head coach of the Titans. He's got experience. He's got experience here. He comes from the Belichick tree. He's gone up and down. I mean, Belichick had a tough 5 years where they got to the playoffs once in Cleveland, which was a dump like Detroit is historically a dump in football. I am confident in Jim Schwartz. The Eagles' defense this year is the fourth best unit in the NFL. The fourth best. Jim Schwartz is used to that. Their defense, technically, is better than their offense. Their offense is the seventh best unit in the league. Their defense is the fourth best unit. They held the Falcons, with all of those star players, and the reigning league MVP to 10 points the other night. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, Jim Schwartz has done a magnificent job in Philly. He did a great job here the first time, and I don't think he was that bad in Detroit. So I'm in on Jim Schwartz. And then to top it off, Jim Schwartz, I think, would want to be here. Jim Schwartz was on ESPN 102.5 The Game 2 years ago, before he took the Eagles' job, after Ken Whisenhunt had been fired, before he took the Eagles' job and was not allowed to say anything. And 2 years ago, when the Titans went and hired Mike Mularkey, Jim Schwartz was asked if he wanted to coach the Tennessee Titans, and this is what Jim Schwartz said.
I think, you know, being a part of the organization for 10 years and the success that we have, I think I can speak for Eddie George, I can speak for Brad Hopkins, Javon Kerr, Samari Roll, Keith Bullock, Frank Wycheck, you know, all those guys, Floyd Reese, in saying that we all had such a good experience there that whatever in the future was asked from us to try to help the Titans win again, I think we would all do it. You know, whether that would be a head coach, whether that would be, you know, helping mop up the stadium after the game. We all want to see the Titans back on top. We want to see an exciting a team, and we want to be able to rekindle that magic that we had for about a decade or so. So I guess I'll just leave it that way when I answer.
Jim Schwartz 2 years ago. Floyd, you know Schwartzy better than I do. What do you think about Jim Schwartz being the next head coach of the Titans? And what do you think about my excitement for Jim Schwartz possibly being the next head coach of the Titans?
I always liked Jim. I mean, Jim did an outstanding job for us when he was here. I think when we've seen him, especially in coordinator positions like he is at Philadelphia, I mean, he has a defensive scheme that he is very comfortable with that evolves around, you know, specific type players. I think he understands that. I think he coaches it really well. I mean, it's very, very seldom you see Philadelphia defense that does not play hard. Doesn't mean they always play good, but they will certainly play hard.
And in Detroit, I mean, they had some really good defensive teams. They just never really put it together. But Detroit, as long as I've been watching football, has never really put it together. You know what I mean? And then he leaves, and they get a little bit better. And I'm a big Jim Schwartz believer. I blame Detroit more on losing than I do Jim Schwartz losing in Detroit. Now, he gets a little hot-headed sometimes, like that time that he got pretty hot-headed with Jim Harbaugh, but I'm okay with that. You know, I'm okay with Jim Schwartz. Again, I stand behind Jim Schwartz to be the next head coach of Tennessee Titans. I know you won't say one way or the other whether you would want him or not want him, but...
I always liked Jim. Jim's a good coach, no doubt.
And then you'd have to bring in an offensive coordinator who would really need to know what they're doing. Because Jim obviously is a defensive guy. And I hate the fact, you know, if you bring in an offensive coach, the only reason I wouldn't want to bring in Jim Schwartz is because if you bring in an offensive coach, then you can keep Dick LeBeau, and at least there's a little continuity there and some experience, because all these guys that they're interviewing right now all have no head coaching experience, so it would be nice to have Dick on the staff. And I you know, with Jim Schwartz, Dick LeBeau is probably not going to be the defensive coordinator of the Titans.
Yeah, I mean, their schemes are different. And I'm assuming if Jim were the head coach, he'd want to run his scheme. And so it would take, you know, some changing, some evolution to get there.
So I hate that, but I do like the idea of Jim Schwartz being the next head coach of the Titans. I'll leave it at that. Let's go to your phones, and we'll take your calls on Jim Schwartz. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Ellie is up next on Josh McDaniels. What's up, Ellie?
Yeah, you know, I look at Josh McDaniels, and he has a little bit of a Lane Kiffin bravado about him, which might rub some GMs the wrong way. And to be realistic, Tom Brady will make me look like a great offensive coordinator.
Floyd, you know Josh McDaniels. Thank you for the call, Ellie. Will you at least go on record and say that Josh McDaniels' personality is not like Lane Kiffin's?
Oh, I don't know Lane Kiffin that well.
But you know Josh's personality. Just tell us what you can tell us about Josh.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you'd have any problem at all with Josh's personality. I mean, he's really a pleasant guy. I mean, easy to get along with, you know, very friendly guy, big smile, family guy. I mean, he's all of that. I don't think you would find any, you know, there's no warts on him.
Do you think the reputation that he left Denver with is an unfair character assessment of Josh McDaniels?
Again, I wasn't at Denver, but I mean, it's not, you know, that picture is not a pretty picture.
But that's not the Josh you know, is it?
Well, again, he was head coach there, so I don't know what he was like at Denver. But I think when you talk to the guys that have been at Denver, and, you know, it was not just like that caller just a minute ago, you know, they did not paint a pretty picture. And Josh knows this. Now, Josh was how many years ago? You know, it was 10, 12 years ago. So Josh has matured a lot from then. And I'm sure, you know, he would, his next job changed a lot of things.
George is up next here on the Titans coaching search. What's up, George? George. Okay. Call us back. Let's go to Phil, who's up next on the Titans coaching search. What's up, Phil?
Hey, what's up, man? Hey, I like to agree. First of all, I want to hit on the Mike Mularkey. I like to agree with that caller that said I think it was more going on, because if it wasn't, why not just say, okay, we'll give him one more year. If you want to keep his offensive coordinator, let him keep him, and then just kick him out if they do bad after that, then busting it all up and starting over. But to Jim Schwartz, I actually like that pick better than everybody else I've heard. Only problem I do have with Jim Schwartz is, like you said, the defense will be starting all the way back over as well. And that's the problem I have. I think the defense actually played very well this year, and I really wouldn't want to change the scheme up just because we don't have the players for a 4-3, even though I think Derrick Morgan is more of a 4-3 player than the 3-4. But we'll be starting all the way back over again, and we definitely don't want to do that.
I appreciate the call, Phil. Yeah, we talked about that yesterday a little bit. I mean, the Titans defense, Floyd, you think as a personnel guy, they're really not that far away from being a 4-3.
Well, I mean, I think, yeah, these guys, you could line up as a 4-3. Now, the defensive ends that play for Schwartz are different than our defensive ends.
Okay, we'll talk about that next. Plus, another question with Jim Schwartz, because I'm in on Jim Schwartz. I'm in for Jim Schwartz to be the next head coach of the Titans. I've got another question about Schwartz as well. We'll get to that. It's Jared and the GM live from the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. of Mount Juliet. On ESPN 102.5, The Game.
This defense is electric. Ranked 30th last year. They're 6th right now. We love watching Jim Schwartz and the fat fist pumps on the sideline. Why do you love playing for him?
I love playing for him because he's a straight-up guy. He's going to let you know the real, and he's going to hold you accountable. And he's all about, you know, just going out there and just getting your job done. I'm not here to have friends. I'm here to get a ring, and that's the whole goal for all of us, and he don't accept nothing but your best. So I love the guy, because I mean, man, he's gonna tell you everything you need to know, and he's not gonna sugarcoat it.
That was Brandon Graham on the Philadelphia Eagles. God, I love that, what he said about Jim Schwartz right there on the NFL Network. I'm in on Jim Schwartz. Now, one question. Jim Schwartz's Tennessee ties, Floyd Reese, the you know, his ties to the Titans days of old, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Because, you know, sometimes you want to move forward and you don't want to go backwards. But Schwartz was here for a lot of their success. So does it matter to you? Does it not matter to you? There's a part of me that thinks that, you know, Jim Schwartz knows what it can be like here in Nashville, knows what it's like when that stadium is packed, knows what it's like when that team's competing for Super Bowls, knows what great Titans football looks like. And then there's a part of me that says, you know, I hated Mike Munchak as coach, and that was kind of the old days and the other things. So what do you make? Do you think that the Tennessee ties, that the ties for Jim Schwartz in the past are a good thing, bad thing, or what do you make?
I mean, I don't know how they could be bad, to be honest. I think I always felt that having players, former players, be active with the team was an important thing. And I always felt like, you know, if there was an Eddie George kind of guy, you know, somebody that is really well respected, to have him be at practice every once in a while, to be in the locker room every once in a while, to be at a social event with the players, all of those kinds of things periodically, I think all that's positive. And I think that would be true with Chris Sanders and D. Mace and, you know, Kevin Dyson and whoever else is out there that lives in the area. And I think Schwartz would tend to do that. I mean, I don't think he would hesitate to invite those guys back, and I'm sure they would feel good about it. So, I mean, I don't see how any of that could be a problem. Now, you can't hire a guy just because of that, but it certainly is, I think, a plus.
With Schwartz in Detroit, Matthew Stafford developed into a pretty nice quarterback. We're talking about finding a guy that can develop Marcus. I mean, you have to give Schwartz credit for how Stafford has developed since he's entered the league.
Well, I think, I mean, you would know that Jim would have a good feel for a staff. You know, if somebody sprang, if they just called Jim and said, "Hey, Jim, it's your job, you know, find a staff." I mean, he would be able to put together a staff probably pretty quickly, compared to some of these other guys that would have to spend a lot of time and make a lot of calls and do a lot of research and all, because Jim would have either coached with or coached, you know, somebody coached for him, or, you know, whatever it may be. But his familiarity with a lot of people in the league would be, again, a plus.
I'm on the record for Jim Schwartz being the next coach of the Titans. Let's go to the phone. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. And then we'll get to Deion Sanders ripping the Titans. Steve is up next here on the show. What's up, Steve?
Hey, man, what's going on?
Go ahead.
Hey, listen, I'm from Detroit, and it's one thing against Schwartz being the coach. We're the franchise who told Don Shula he was too young. He promptly went to Baltimore, then Miami, and you know the story. Okay? No coach that's ever coached us, and I love him, has ever been a head coach again. Not one in the history. So you can – maybe Schwartz might be the first one, but hopefully Detroit gets it right with Patricia. But not one coach has ever been a coach again. So you can take that for what it's worth and weigh it out. Maybe Schwartz will break the mold, but I doubt it.
Well, I don't – that means absolutely nothing to me.
That is an incredible stat,
though. I appreciate
the
call, Steve. Is that true, though?
I don't know.
Who were the head coaches you worked for in Detroit?
I worked for Rick Ferrazzano.
Did he coach anywhere after Detroit?
No. Tommy Hudspeth? Nope.
Did he coach anywhere?
No.
I mean, my guess is that's probably a pretty well-known stat in Detroit. But
I don't know, but that's pretty incredible.
But to be asked,
I don't think Fonts coached any place. The big San Francisco offensive lineman didn't go.
Mariucci didn't coach anywhere after Detroit.
No, Mooch was done. That's incredible. That'd be interesting to look up.
And I don't think Jim Caldwell's going to coach anywhere.
Wow.
Anymore, but to the caller's point, he said, for what it's worth, to me, that's worth absolutely nothing. That does not mean anything to me.
You go to Detroit to die. That's it.
Does that mean anything to you, though?
I know. It's a pretty amazing stat.
I mean, Detroit had you and Belichick on staff and then, like, couldn't win.
Yeah. I mean, it's incredible.
Okay, but again, to that actually meaning anything, I'm not sure that does mean anything. Other than Detroit is just so crappy that nobody ever wants to hire a coach from Detroit after they get an opportunity in Detroit. I'm willing to give Schwartz another opportunity. I mean, you go back to Schwartz. I mean, look, again, nobody's been – has Detroit ever won a Super Bowl? I don't think so. Have they ever played in a Super Bowl?
No.
Okay, so Detroit sucks. So, like, why would we hold Schwartz's 29-51 record in Detroit? Why are we holding that against Schwartz?
Is that his record?
Yeah, it's bad. But remember, he took over an 0-16 team. So
29-51?
Once again, he took over an 0-16 team. That's a, you know, 0-16 is 0-16. So he takes over an 0-16 team, and he goes, what did I just say, 29-51?
Yeah.
Belichick 36-44 in Cleveland, had one winning season just like Schwartz. To me, maybe he could be the next Belichick. Maybe he could be the guy that failed at the crummy organization and then went to the good organization that gave him the money and got out of his way, and Belichick is now one of the greatest coaches who ever lived. I'm not saying Jim Schwartz will be the greatest coach who ever lived, but I'm just saying that I think Schwartz is a lot better than what he was in Detroit because I think Detroit was holding him back. That ownership family, the Fords, they screwed everything up too. Like,
well, no, it wasn't the Fords. Fords are really good owners.
So who were the bad owners?
Really good owners. No, it wasn't the owners. It was the president and the, you know, vice president, the GM, the whoever. I mean, they go 0-16. The only guy that gets fired is Mariucci. I mean,
Marinelli.
So everybody else is okay. Everybody else is doing a good job. That one guy really screwed it up. Okay.
Do you think Schwartz is as good as a 29-51 record? Or do you think he's a better coach than that? From what you know of Schwartz.
Yeah, again, I've never been with him as a head coach. The coach that I worked with, he's better than 29-50. 29-51 is not very good now.
I know, I get that.
That's not good.
But, okay, like, if Jim Schwartz were to be hired to the Titans, would that be a move that you could get behind?
Nice try.
How is that a try?
Well done.
How is that a try? I mean, they could hire a lump of dirt, and you would get behind the lump of dirt. You'd be like, now John really believes in him. And I'm telling you, this lump of dirt is not just any regular lump of dirt. That's that nice Bermuda dirt where they go down there and they you know, the earthworms aren't able to get into it, and it's got a lot of CO2 in that dirt. Very good for crops. I love lump of dirt. Keep it in the playoffs, baby. That is how you would feel if they hired a lump of dirt. But in reality, could you get behind the Titans with Jim Schwartz as coach?
I like Schwartz. That's as far as we're going.
Why would you go further?
How much more you need to say? I like him.
I'm not asking you whether or not he should be the next head coach of the Titans.
Oh, you're not?
I'm just asking you if you believe that he would be a good head coach for the Titans.
I like Schwartz.
So would he be a good head coach for the Titans?
I don't know.
All right, 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Coming up next, Deion Sanders absolutely ripped the Titans. We'll get into that. ESPN 102.5 The Game is your flagship station for the reigning Western Conference champion National Predators. Preds, by the way, big win last night. The juice got loose with a shutout against Vegas. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter and like us on Facebook to keep up with everything in Smashville. Twitter at 102.5 The Game, Instagram at The Game Nashville, Facebook.com/The Game Nashville. I'm on Twitter at Jared Stillman. The blue check mark lets you know it's me. And on Instagram at the Jared Stillman. And we need as many Instagram followers as possible because, once again, the girls like Instagram and I just want to look cool on Instagram. So at the Jared Stillman. Everybody go follow my Instagram at the Jared Stillman. And you can see my story from yesterday and last night at the game. So go follow it at the Jared Stillman. Jared and the GM at ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Thought we took a lot of steps in the right direction. I thought some of the second-year players got better, and I think some of the rookies came on. I think we're heading in the, you know, the right direction, and with more consistency in all three phases of the game, I think we can continue that progress.
Everything's going well. We're headed in the right direction. We got these players playing well, but we got to fire the coach. John Robinson, Titans general manager. Floyd Reese?
Yo.
I know you have absolved the Titans of any blame in the Mike Mularkey situation, which I think is an incorrect take, but that's neither here nor there. You know who doesn't absolve the Titans from any blame?
Who is that?
Prime Time, Neon Deion.
Oh, there's the answer.
On 20, I think the show is called 21st and Prime. That's his show on the NFL Network, which, by the way, is actually a very entertaining show. But on 21st and Prime, Deion Sanders gave his thoughts on the Mike Mularkey Titans situation.
First of all, this franchise was horrendous when Mularkey and his regime came in and they revitalized this thing, even taking them to the playoffs. And you have the audacity to tell this man the week thereof, if you don't win this last game, all of you guys are fired. And matter of fact, then after you win this game, we don't know if we're going to retain you anyway after they shook up the world. Let me tell you something. That's total disrespect. I don't blame Mularkey one bit for not coming back to that nonsense that they're doing. And you're talking about the quarterback and in his progression. Sooner or later, man, we got to really point fingers at these guys and say to these guys that are making the kind of money they're making, stand up. Stand up and do your job. If you do your job, it secures the jobs of so many others. I think that's a really good coaching staff. They're going to lose, and I don't think you can replace that instantaneously amongst the NFL. There's not a lot of great coaches out there waiting for these type of jobs to be had.
What do you think of what Primetime said? Because I 100% agree with what Deion said. I mean, now, I wouldn't say,
I find that shocking?
95% agree with what Deion said. The whole, that's a great stat. I don't believe that. But everything else, I'm with Primetime. I mean, I'm with Deion. I mean, this idea, I think Deion's right. I think Mike Mularkey was disrespected. I think it was disrespectful to go up to him at the end of the season and say, you have to win or else you're getting fired. And then it goes from that to, you win the playoff game. Mike takes a rocket shot at the front office in his press conference. And then you still don't know. And then you release a phony half-you-know-what statement. And then it comes out at the end that they wanted to fire you the whole time because they did fire you. And that's what I'm worried about. Deion's right. You were horrible before Mike Mularkey, and now you fired Mike Mularkey, and there's no guarantee that you're going to get any better. So I agree 100% with Deion Sanders there. I thought Mike Mularkey was totally disrespected, and I worry that, as Deion said, it goes back to the nonsense, which is what I thought this franchise was past.
Okay. You and Deion. Way to go.
Well, what don't you agree with Deion about?
I mean, I don't agree with any of it. But that's beyond. Why not? I'm not going there again. I'm done.
It's much deeper. It's much deeper than they asked Mike to fire the coaches, and Mike didn't want to fire the coaches. It's deeper than that.
The part that's so amazing, Ian, back me up on this. All year long, really for 2 years, you've done nothing but complain about that coaching staff.
That's not true.
Oh, did you, Dion, do you remember him ever complaining about the coaching staff?
I mean, I've had Mike's back, have I not?
Oh.
What, the Titans coaching staff?
Yes.
Well, Robisky, other than Robisky?
Yeah, I mean, like Dick LeBeau.
You like LeBeau.
Oh,
Mike.
You hated that offensive staff.
Mike?
You hated the special teams coach.
Special teams coach
you
is true.
You hated the receiver coach. You hated the coordinator.
Those three are right.
We would come in here and gripe about that for hours.
No, we.
I can't put up with any more of this. I refuse. Did you see the fourth and one? Did you see the I refuse to put up with any more of that. I'm not going there anymore. And now we're, I loved them so much. They meant so much to me. I feel so bad.
Let the record show, did not correctly complain about the offensive play calling. We didn't do that. Now, I complained when they ran it up the middle on third and two against San Francisco. I complained when they ran that stupid fake punt against Arizona. I complained when they hit the punter in the game against the Chiefs. I complained when they screwed up. You always had their back until they were gone. That's what makes you a bobo. Because I called you a Robisky bobo two years ago.
See, you don't. And this is what you don't understand. You were as wrong then as you are now.
How?
And you don't even see it. And I'm done explaining it.
Either Robisky stunk or he didn't stink.
No, Robisky was really, really good. You loved him the whole year. I mean, you were behind him 1,000%. And if they would have come to you and said, okay, you got to fire Robisky or you're not going to get an extension, you wouldn't have fired him. You would have, no, he's my guy.
They wouldn't have had to tell me
I love
that.
Him.
They wouldn't have had to give me that either because he'd have been gone. He'd have been so gone.
Such a hypocrite.
See, this is what I believe. Mike didn't necessarily need to get a contract extension if he wouldn't do what John wanted him to do. But Mike shouldn't have been fired. That's the way that I view it. I feel like you owed Mike the 2018 season no matter what. So if Mike wanted to keep the same group of bum assistant coaches around, deal with it. And you got to go through the 2018 season and hope that Mike was right and that the injuries that slowed down Corey Davis, that slowed down DeMarco Murray, that slowed down Marcus Mariota, don't come back. And then on the other side of it, you know, then maybe you could go 11-5 and go deep into the playoffs with Mike as coach. Or if these coaches were as bad as we seem to think they are and the Titans regress to a 7-9 or a 5-11, then you fire Mike. It's as simple as that. To me, then you basically say, if you want to keep your coaches, you coach for your job next year. I'm okay with that. And every time I say that, you look at me like I'm crazy, but I don't see what's wrong with that.
I know you don't. I know.
What's wrong with that?
I mean, you just don't understand.
What's wrong with giving Mike the 2018 season
and letting
him coach for his job?
I mean, I don't.
I think he earned the 2018 season.
Ah, do you?
And Dion agrees.
You and Dion.
Dion. I'm just telling you, I think there's a lot of people around the country. I think there's a lot of people around the country that are trying to figure out, what the hell are they doing in Nashville? Why did they fire that coach? He got them to the playoffs. They usually suck. I'm telling you, that's what I think a lot of people think about when they think of the Titans right now. And I think it's fair to think that. I think it's totally okay to think that. Jason's up next. To the phones we go, 615-737-1025. Jason's up next in the coaching. What's up, Jason?
Hey, go Titans. Woohoo!
It's not what Deion Sanders is saying. What's your take? Oh, that's a great, great call.
There you go.
How did we let that one get through? I kind of like the callers where you can't even understand the callers more than I like that kind of call. The Walmart parking lot call, the woohoo! I can't do that. Ted's got a theory on the coaching. He's up next. What's up, Ted?
there is something deeper. You are correct. But the GM knows what it is. We won't have a new mayor for another few years. The Titans need a new stadium. A third of the franchise is for sale. They don't have another year to wait for Mike Mularkey. They have to make the franchise. See, he didn't mention, Robinson didn't mention the word team.
Right.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Well, I guess John didn't mention the
we
word
lose
team.
Him?
Yeah, I guess. But I don't know what he means when he says John didn't mention the word team. What? I don't know where he was going with that. But he's basically saying that the Titans need to get good because they're going to ask Metro for a lot of money for a stadium. My thing, though, is that I believe that you could have been good with Mike as coach. I mean, if you go out and get Mike Vrabel, who has 1 year experience as a coordinator, I've been on the radio longer than Mike Vrabel has been coaching in the NFL. And you go out there and you get Mike Vrabel to come in there and be your head coach of an NFL team. I mean, seriously. The guy has had 1 year as a coordinator, and the 1 year as a coordinator, they allowed the most points in the NFL. And that's the guy you want to take your franchise to the next level?
I don't know. I mean, you don't like him. That's obvious. I don't know him.
So how do you like him? He's had 1 year and he sucked. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Like him? How am I supposed to like Mike Vrabel? Okay, here we go. We got one line open right now. One line. I want, and then we'll get to the calls on the other lines, but I want somebody to call that one line and tell me why I should like Mike Vrabel, who in 1 year as a coordinator gave up the most points in the NFL, but not like Mike Mularkey, who went 9-7, went to the playoffs and won a game. That's all I want to know. That's all I want to know. Plus, I'll go over a list of the other coordinators, and I got a problem with some of these coordinators in the NFL right now. None of these really get me all that excited. 615-737-1025, ESPN 1025. The game is on the road Friday. Jared and the GM will be broadcasting live from the Anderson Marine booth at the Nashville Boat and Sports Show inside the Music City Center. Come down during the show throughout the event to register to win prizes. That'll be fun out at the boat show, Floyd Reese.
Yes, sir.
Jared, the GM, it's ESPN 102.5, the game.
You know, we've started that search this morning, going through names and bios and starting to build a list of potential candidates. It certainly it helps to have relationships in the league and be able to call on those relationships that might have a connection with a potential candidate, even though, you know, I might not have a one-on-one relationship with that person, to someone you can trust that will, you know, kind of shoot you straight on the candidate.
John Robinson right there, yes, or 2 days ago. Jared the GM. Floyd, thought or calls?
Calls.
Calls we go. Anthony up next on Coaching with the Titans. Thank you for calling. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, guys. I wanted to make a comment. You know, I mean, listening to all these coaches, I think in Nashville here, you got to have a hard-nosed coach like Mularkey or whatever. But I understand what everybody's saying. I just think we'll be really miserable if we get somebody in here and we score a lot, but we can't stop anybody. We don't have the mental toughness. Just seems like through when the Titans were successful, and the Titans I remember through the Fisher years, always had that gritty. It's okay to win a 12-7 game. You're always. We were always in it. I think if we start losing 35-31 31 or whatever, I think we're really going to be miserable. So I don't know whether that coach is out there or not, but that's my opinion.
Thank you, Anthony. He is right. I mean, back in the Jeff Fisher days, the Titans used to win games 36-35 over Cleveland or 9-7 over Pittsburgh, neither of whom were playoff teams, and yet nobody left the stadium moaning and groaning and complaining about the team like it seems like they do now.
I mean, went through that spell of 5 out of 6 games that we won, and there was nothing but griping. I mean,
this
it was
season,
yes.
That's my point.
Yeah, the Cleveland win. I can't remember who all they were, but They were, oh, we only won by 3 points. Gee, what's wrong? You know, I mean, just in the next game, same thing. Oh, it's so boring. We're only winning by 3 points, and these are rotten teams. And they, and yeah, on and on, and you keep thinking, hey, we're winning.
Hey, that's what I said. When they beat Houston, and Tom Savage threw for like 400 yards, and they beat Houston, that day I said, look, I'm done complaining about how they're winning these games because they're winning them. They were 8-4. Then they started losing. That trip out west is what did Mike in at the end of the day. That trip out west, going to Arizona and San Francisco and losing twice, both in just painful fashion, that's what did Mike in. If you go to Arizona and beat them like you should have, and then you comfortably make the playoffs and you win a playoff game, you can't fire the coach. That trip did Mike in. John is up next on Mike Mularkey. What's up, John?
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. Yep. Jared, one of your theories with you know, Mularkey has deserved 2018 season. The problem with that is that after next year, you got to decide whether to pay your quote franchise quarterback $100 million or not. So if he comes out and has the same season that he had this year in the same Mularkey system, throws 13, 14 touchdowns, 15 picks, you're going to pay him $100 million, or are you going to say he's not the guy?
What if he had the year? What if he had the year like the year before that when he threw, what was it, like 26 touchdowns and 9 picks?
Well, then he probably is the guy. But under Mularkey's current offensive system, what if he takes another step back or remains the same? You got to make the choice one way or the other. Because if you're not willing to pay him, I'm sure Buffalo would pay him over Taylor. Or Arizona would pay him over a 40-year-old injury-prone Palmer.
Well, see, that's my whole point, John, is what I'm about to say is that, I mean, I think you have to pay Mariota no matter what. Thanks for the call, John. You're stuck with – I mean, I say you're stuck with Mariota like it's a bad thing. You're ultimately going to have to pay Mariota one way or the other. There's no way around it.
Well, yeah, but there's a difference in picking up the tender and signing a 5-year contract.
Well, they have no choice right now. They have to pick up the tender.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, but that's not – I mean, that's different than signing a $100 million contract.
Well, they're going to have to sign him to a $100 million contract the year after that anyways.
Yeah, I mean, that's yet to be seen, I would say.
If this was a walk year for Marcus, like if this was a either franchise tag him, sign him to a deal, or he goes free, there's no way you could let him go free. There's no way. Tennessee Titans could not afford to lose Marcus Mariota and then have to draft a quarterback in the first round next year and then go 4-12 again.
Why would you? You don't have to necessarily draft a quarterback this year.
Where are you going to get one?
Oh, Smith. I mean, they're going to be Cousins. There's going to be some people out there now.
Would you rather pay Cousins?
No, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you
$150 million or Marcus $100 million.
It's going to cost you money, but at least you know, like with Alex Smith, you got the number one rated quarterback in the league.
Who's 35 years old? Marcus is 24 years old.
Right. But again, you got the 35. You got the highest rated quarterback in the league.
Guy that just lost a game to Marcus has lost his last two to Marcus. I don't think you have a choice. To be honest with you, I wouldn't even just pick up the fifth year option on Marcus. I'd sign him to a contract extension this year. I mean, I think you're pot committed. You know the poker term pot committed. You're pot committed to Mariota at this point. I mean, if you decide to cut bait on Mariota, like I don't know what do people think he's like a backup or something? Because he's not a backup in this league. He's a 24-year-old legitimate starting quarterback that just won a playoff game. We'll get into this in a little bit, but the whole idea about the regression of Mariota, I think is a little ridiculous. Let's go to Billy, who's up next here on Jared and the GM. What's up, Billy?
Hey, guys, always enjoyed the show on my drive in. What I'd like to ask, and I hope this hasn't been talked about prior, but I'd like for both of you guys to put yourself in the position of a coach somewhere in the NFL who now believes that he is ready to be a head coach. How attractive, with all that's been going on from the front office all the way to the inconsistencies, to the turnovers with the Titans, how attractive is this job?
Floyd?
I mean, any job is attractive, but this job is attractive. I think it's attractive for three or four reasons. I mean, first of all, the team is fairly young. I think you look at it and you say, okay, this team should only get better. Nashville is a great place to live. Amy's a great owner.
Amy's a great owner. She just fired the coach after making the playoffs.
Amy's a great owner, and I think you know, there are a ton of pluses. I mean, when you compare it to, you know, Cleveland or Indy or, you know, places like that, I don't think there's any doubt but that you would want this job.
Well, is it a better job than the New York Giants job?
For me?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Why?
You want to live in New York?
No. I think it's a better job than the Giants job.
I mean, I would not want any part of that.
That's why I think the whole McDaniel. Oh, Josh is for sure going to the Colts, the McDaniels thing. I think it's a load of garbage because, again, I think I'd rather coach the Titans than coach the Colts. I'd rather live here. I'd rather not work for Jim Irsay. And you all can poo-poo on Mariota all you want, but at least I know he's going to play football next year. Luck? Well, I have no idea. And if I'm staking my whole future on it, and there's like a 70% chance he comes back, I'm not sure I feel comfortable at 70% of Luck coming back. Now, the other thing you can say about McDaniels is that Brissett is there, and maybe McDaniels thinks enough of Brissett that if Luck doesn't come back, he can use Brissett because he knew Brissett in New England. Except that if McDaniels thought that Brissett was a franchise quarterback, there's no way he would have let Bill trade him to the Colts.
Probably not.
Unless Kraft made him because Brady went to him and, you know, they did it with Brissett like they did Garoppolo. Jack's up next here on Jared and the GM. What's up, Jack?
Jared, I listen to you most every day.
Amen,
and
brother.
I generally agree with you. Because
really?
You stand up for what most people out here think. You're not afraid to say it.
Thank you, Jack.
But let me tell you this. Get off of it, man. They have fired a man. He's gone. Quit whining about it and get on with it.
Jack, are you the Titans fan?
Every day I listen to you, this is the third day in a row, you keep complaining about him firing Mularkey. Well, hey, guess what? He's fired. He's gone.
Do you not agree with Deion Sanders
on
what he said?
No, sir, I don't.
Why
I'm
not?
Glad he's gone.
That's
he's
surprising.
Never going to take them to where we want him to be. Yeah, okay, they can get in the playoffs and then lose. They're never going to be the New England Patriots with
how
Mularkey
do you know that,
coaching
though?
Them.
Like, how do you
never.
Know that?
How do I know that?
Yeah, how do you know in your heart that
anybody
they'll never be
that's
going
so
more?
Afraid to replace the number one running back with a guy that's obviously better now because he don't want to hurt his feelings? He's not the guy that's going to take you there. You got to have somebody like Saban or Belichick who doesn't mind stepping on toes, that's not trying to be their buddy.
Okay, so who's the Saban or Belichick you want the Titans to hire?
Who's to do what?
Who's the next Saban or Belichick you want the Titans to hire?
Well, I'm not sure about that. That's debatable.
That's
we can talk about that.
Jack, this is a good call.
I'm not saying that's not debatable. That is debatable.
Jack, this is a very good call, and I appreciate you usually agreeing with me because not a lot of people do, so I do appreciate that. Thank you for the call, Jack. Okay, coming up next, and we'll get back to the calls, but Jack is right about one thing. I do need to move on from Mike Mularkey. And it hurts my heart to do this. But I want to talk about Marcus because I hear a lot of stuff about Marcus that I don't believe. So either I'm wrong or you all are wrong, and we'll get to that next on Jared and the GM. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.